We are waiting.
I am waiting for my case to come up.
And I am waiting for a rebirth of wonder.
And I am waiting for someone to really discover America and whale.
For the discovery of a new symbolic Western frontier.
And I am waiting for the American eagle to really spread its wings and straighten up and fly right.
And I am waiting for the war to be fought, which will make the world safe for anarchy.
And I am waiting for the final withering away of all governments.
And I am perpetually awaiting a rebirth of wonder.
I am waiting for the great divide to be crossed. And I am anxiously waiting for the secret of eternal life to be discovered by an obscure general practitioner.
And I am waiting to set sail for happiness.
And I am waiting
for a reconstructed Mayflower to reach America with its picture story and TV rights sold in advance to the natives.
And I am waiting for the lost music to sound again in the lost continent in a new rebirth of wonder.
Imagine this. It's a gray, chilly day in Washington, D.C., in March of 2023. A handful of protesters from left-leaning groups like Indivisible are huddled outside against the icy Potomac winds, but mostly there's a climate of disbelief in the nation's capital as the GOP-dominated House of Representatives wraps up debate over the impeachment of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., 46th President of the United States. It was little more than 5 months since the Republicans gained 43 House seats in the 2022 midterms, many in newly gerrymandered seats, and since the incoming chair of House Judiciary Committee, Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, started studying a menu of equally off-the-wall options: Hunter Biden's a laptop, the Afghanistan withdrawal, or something unprecedented about the president's mental acuity, for Biden impeachment hearings. In the end, Jordan and his colleagues, including the radical Kennan conspiracy theorists who'd replaced GOP moderates Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, decided that the pretext didn't even matter that much. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who'd staved off a challenge to his leadership by flying to Mar-a-Lago and promising Donald Trump that Biden, just like his predecessor, would wear the stain of impeachment, delivered the closing speech and noted that Republicans had promised to end this age of decline and end this presidency. A code pink protester burst onto the floor and screamed, "Why are you doing this?" Before two burly guards dragged her out, while a handful of Trump supporters in the gallery began chanting, "Let's go, Brandon, this is America's immediate future." And yet, with all the sometimes ridiculous inside the Beltway speculation about less urgent and less likely matters like whether Democrats ditch Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris for Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, it's clear that neither the press, the public, nor the political classes are truly ready for the year that is going to shake American democracy to its core, 2023. A couple of developments this week brought the collision course that looms a little more than a year from now into sharper focus. On Capitol Hill, the bitterly partisan fight over Wednesday's censure of Republican right-wing zealot Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona, who'd tweeted a cartoon video of him killing Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, revealed the depths of the GOP's obsession with political revenge if and when the party retakes control of Congress. Said McCarthy, currently the minority leader, what they, Democrats, have started cannot be easily undone. At the same time, a growing number of polls suggest that it will take something of a political miracle in November 2022 for Democrats to prevent that GOP House majority from happening. With swing voters riled up over inflation, frustration over a pandemic that refuses to end, an inflamed culture war, and questions about Biden's leadership that spiked with press coverage of the Afghanistan withdrawal, a new survey shows congressional Republicans leading a generic ballot over Democrats by 51% to 41%, their biggest margin in the 40-year history of the question. That's not a shock. Barring some kind of 9/11-style nightmare that nobody wants, the party out of power in the White House usually gains seats in that president's first midterm election, but 2022 will fought on a wildly uneven playing field, thanks to the every 10 years congressional mapping strategy known as gerrymandering. Republicans, who control the majority of state legislatures, partly because of their radical gerrymandering a decade ago, are for the most part using that edge to create a national map that would make next year's midterm outlook bleak for Democrats even if the party bounced back to roughly even in those polls. Typical is the remapping process in competitive states that lean slightly Republican like North Carolina, where party registration is roughly equal yet the new districts tilt 10-4 for the GOP, or Ohio, where Republicans who got 55% of the 2020 presidential vote gerrymandered a stunning 12-3 congressional edge. A House-passed bill that would have stymied extreme gerrymandering was rejected by the great American decider of the 2020s, West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin. No wonder that a number of political scientists queried this week by the New York Times columnist Thomas Beardsall had two basic outlooks for the Democrats in 2022, gloomy, and gloomier. They predicted Republicans could pick up at least 24 seats and maybe as many as 40-plus to obliterate the current narrow Democratic majority. Tufts University political scientist Brian Schaffner told Beardsall many perhaps expected that a return to normal leadership would immediately solve the unprecedented problems facing the country. Of course, that was never a realistic expectation.
Subscribe to the podcast.